tell us where it's derived from. I guess let's start with some basics. Where does it come from?
It can come from two places. It can come from marijuana or it can come from hemp. More commonly, it comes from hemp.
The book talks about a lot of health benefits. I guess give us a few of the health benefits that you found.
Yeah, so in the years that I've treated patients, and I've been doing this since back in 2012, I have found CBD to be very effective for migraines and headaches, for muscle pain, for nerve pain, for anxiety, and for insomnia.
Does it have some effect on other diseases as well?
Yeah, so other diseases include things, inflammatory conditions, because it has inflammatory properties, so a lot of autoimmune conditions. It also has impact on autism, for instance. A wide variety of conditions, I would say, that it has impact on. But the ones that I listed are the most common conditions.
What's the mechanism in the CBD oil that actually benefits the health? What is it?
Sure. So a couple different ways that it works from what we know. One is that it has anti-inflammatory effects, right? So that affects a wide variety of conditions. Most conditions that end with the letters I-T-I-S, itis, that basically what that means is that there's some sort of inflammation involved, right? So it can help those conditions. It has antispasmodic effects, right? So it relaxes muscles. So any sort of muscle pain, we're talking about even abdominal cramping, it can help that as well. And also it's known to affect the serotonin pathway. So it can impact things like migraines and headaches, as well as anxiety for that reason.
How common is it being prescribed now? Or I guess, does it need a prescription?
It does not need a prescription, but it also depends on the state in which you reside. Okay, so for the most part, it doesn't need a prescription. In certain states, you do need a prescription for it.
What's the best way to apply it so that it works?
So a lot of different ways, a lot of different delivery methods, right? So it can come in topical formulations. It can come as edibles, ingestibles, which most commonly what you're going to find are chocolates and gummies. It can come as a sublingual formulation, which are drops that you put under the tongue. It can also come in rectal and vaginal formulations, and it can also be inhaled. And specifically, I'm not talking about smoking it, but rather what's known as vaporizing it. So those are all the different delivery methods. Now, in terms of, you know, selecting the best delivery method, there is no one best delivery method. A lot of it's going to depend on the medical condition that you're treating as well as your medical history, right? So let me give you a couple examples. Anxiety, for instance, that's not going to be well treated with topicals, right? You really need to take something internally to treat that effectively. And I found that in patients that have had a history of, for instance, gastric bypass surgeries, they don't absorb edibles as well. So they have to turn to the other methods, delivery methods of use. So that's the basics of how it works when it comes to delivery methods.
Is it affordable? From what I've seen, it's somewhat pricey.
Yeah, so this is interesting. Let me give you an example. When it comes to dosing, a lot of it's going to depend on dosing and frequency of use, okay? So when it comes to dosing, I had two patients who struggled with insomnia. Otherwise, they were healthy, no other, you know, medical conditions, and they had similar BMIs, body mass indices, but one patient needed only 2.5 milligrams of CBD to sleep better, and the other patient needed 50 milligrams of CBD to sleep better, okay? So the patient who was using the 50 milligrams, it was a more expensive medication for that patient versus the patient who was only using the 2.5 milligrams of CBD. The other thing is that frequency of use, okay? A lot of it depends on, so CBD is a fat-soluble substance, okay? So it gets stored in the fat cells in your body. And we all know that we all hold on to fat differently. And for that reason, some people need to take it more often. Some people need to take it less often, okay? So for some, it can be a relatively cheap medication. For others, it can be an expensive medication. It all depends on how much you need at the end of the day.
Do you see it as a revolutionary drug, or is it just something that needs more study? How are you assessing it?
You know, it definitely needs to be studied more. But, you know, without a doubt, I can say. Because the way it's really working is that people are using it, they're finding that it's effective for certain conditions, and then it's being studied. So it's the opposite of what typically happens when it comes to research and development of drugs.